Thank goodness they don't have restrictions on the preacher for this, because I don't know how I'd get through with that on my face. I'd like to welcome each one here this morning. This is the first time I've taken this platform, I think, since this whole COVID-19 has started. So if I fumble around a little bit, just forgive me. I'm maybe a little out of practice. I'd like to just welcome also those that are maybe live streaming this morning. We're glad that you could be with us this morning. I want to speak on a topic that is serious, I guess. It's a topic that probably doesn't get spoken about too terribly much in our evangelical circles, if you want to use that term. And it's the topic of death and the afterlife. Death and the afterlife. 150,000 people each day die. If you do the math on that, that's about a little over 5 million people in 365 days die. And we simply know that death is just the end of physical life. Often heard it said, one out of every one dies. And that's a pretty accurate statistic. If you were to ask someone, do you look forward to dying? Most people would say no. Maybe there's circumstances that someone would want to leave, maybe through suffering. But generally speaking, no one looks forward to dying. As a matter of fact, we go to great lengths to preserve life. Even as Christians, you know, we try to eat healthy. I had a naturopathic doctor tell me that I got to cut out dairy and sugar to preserve my health so I'll live longer. And I did it for about 2 weeks. And I know I should, but you know what I mean? But we try our best to preserve our life, to give us a good quality of life and to give us a length of life. I think everyone would agree with that. This pandemic, and now there's lots of views on whether it is actually a conspiracy. I'm not going to get involved in all that, but in reality, you would have to agree that since this pandemic, more people have died. Death is a reality. I'm going to steal a page from my father-in-law's acronyms this morning. And I wasn't planning on it. I had my message prepared, and then I listened to another message this morning on this particular passage. And he used 3 P's. And maybe it'll help you remember what I've spoken about this morning. The 3 P's are 2 people, 2 places, and 2 principles. Probably the most common verse that you would hear in a gospel message about the afterlife is this verse. I'm sure many of you could quote it here. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says this, "For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." Here's a few questions that we're going to address, hopefully by the end of this message, about this idea of death and the afterlife and where you will spend it. I think probably the question, if you have a loved one that has passed on from this life, 2 questions that the family would ask was, where is that individual? And secondly, and probably more important, well, not more importantly, but in conjunction with that is, how is that person doing where he is? These are things that are real. The passage this morning is in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Before we turn there, I want to just pose a few questions that we're going to try to answer. How did death ever come to be? come to be? And we're going to answer that, and I think most of you know it. And maybe that you that have tuned in this morning are not aware of how death came upon planet Earth. Is there such a place as heaven? Is there such a place as hell? Is there really judgment coming? And for what reason would God judge people? Why would he judge them? God is love. Maybe that's a question you've asked yourself. Maybe it's a question you've asked yourself, and in spite of all the Christian verses that are in the Bible that speak about the judgment of God, you can't reconcile or bring together the fact that God is loving and he will also send people to this place called hell. We're going to talk about that. How can you be assured of heaven? And how can you avoid this place called hell? Some people have said, and I've spoken to people, I remember years ago speaking to a guy downtown, and he said to me, hell is here and now on earth. And whatever you're going through this morning, as bad as it might be, it is a far cry from the judgment of hell. It's a far cry from it. Let's read the story together. Luke, if you don't have a Bible, just listen carefully as we read. Just a few verses, and we're going to try to pull some things here. I'm going to take maybe a little bit of liberty in this story for some things that I to tell the story that would maybe bring it to life, and I think we can draw certain things from the facts of this story and build on them. Verse 19, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, or that holding place. And the rich man also died and was buried. Special note of these three words, beginning of verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy life receiveth the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from there. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abram saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, he argues again. He says, no, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's just ask for God's help. Father, this morning, we pray that you would speak to hearts this morning. very sobering passage of two different people, two different pasts, two different places, two different scenarios in life and afterlife. May someone this morning consider the reality of these places. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was downtown yesterday, and apparently this sign has been up for some time. I've never seen it. I've never took notice of it. It's on the Guild, on the side of Guild, down on lower part of Queen Street. I guess I don't know what street that is, on side of the Guild, but it says, when I die, and then it goes, and you can write, when I die, I want to. And then you can put your, before I die, in big letters, and then the idea, you can write something. Well, there's about maybe 30, 40 slots of what you want or what your aspirations are before you die. Now, yesterday was raining. There was no writing on there. But it got me thinking. People want to do certain things before they die. I think most of us realize that death is imminent or death is going to come. And I'm telling you, our bodies tell us that every day as you get older. I think I've told this story before. I always prided myself in being just like a cat on a roof. When I was younger, I could do anything, or at least I thought I could. And a couple of times, I near lost my life thinking that I could do anything. And I remember only 3 or 4 years ago, I was working with another company, and we were putting these roof trusses on. And I hadn't been up on a roof for some time, and I still thought I had it. It was actually Thomas Lewis. I was working with him. And so I was manning one side, and he was manning the other side. And I realized about 3/4 of the way through, he had also not only nailed his end, but had strapped half the roof. And I thought to myself, I can't do what I used to do. We're all physically dying. We're all not able to do the things that we could do when we were younger because death has come upon mankind. There's a verse in the Bible that says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. And that's really a lot of the mentality of our world. They're only thinking of the here and now. And they're trying to do things that they want to do before they die. And they have no thought of the afterlife. There was a man in the Bible that said he had no thought of that. And it said, God eventually said to him, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. In other words, you're going to have to give account for what you've done in this life to determine where you'll spend eternity in the afterlife. So here we have in our story two men. The rich man who fared, the Bible says he fared sumptuously. He wore purple robe. My understanding and my reading is that purple dye always spoke of royalty. So he was the upper crust. He was high society. That dye in that robe would have to kill 12,000 of this particular snail, and they extract that dye, and that would only do one garment. So he's wearing some pretty expensive clothing. It says he fared sumptuously, and it also talked about this man's table of food. You know, the crumbs would fall from his table. He was a high living guy. He had a gate at his home. And if you're ever in a gated community, if you've ever driven through a gated community, which I have at different times, just looking through the gates at these houses, these are high society people. So this guy, not only was he rich, but it showed he was rich. And he was very open about the fact that he had money. And here's a lesson to us as Christians. There's nothing wrong with money. But what are you doing with what God has entrusted you with? Are you using it for His glory? At the end of this message, this gospel message which I'm going to present, the end result should be to glorify God. At the end of every gospel message, our intention of presenting this truth is that you might glorify God. Repent, believe the gospel, and glorify God. Honor Him. Lift Him up. That's the intent of the message this morning. So this rich man had a beggar that was dropped off at his gate. My guess is each day, full of sores. I'm picturing a bit of a grotesque scene. Full of sores. And he was dropped off by someone. It sounds like someone who cared. Maybe they thought, this rich man has the means to help this beggar out. We'll drop him off at his gate. So when he leaves that place, he'll see him and have pity on him, maybe. And his sores were visible because it says that the dogs came and licked his sores. It seems to me that the dogs cared more about this man than this rich man did. It wasn't a very nice sight. But our story tells us about these two individuals. And then it says, and they died. The great equalizer of all mankind. It is appointed unto man once to die. Did it matter that this rich man was high society? Did it matter that the beggar was low society? Did it matter that he had money, or did it matter that he had sores? It did not matter, because death equalizes everyone. We all are on the same playing field at the end of the day. We can't take our riches with us. Death is the equalizer. God is not a respecter of persons. I don't think it would have affected this rich man financially to help this guy out. I suspect he had lots of money. Our story doesn't indicate that he even took notice of this beggar. They both died, and they went to two different places. Two places. Two men, two places. It says the beggar was carried by the angels. He had a grand entrance. This indicates to me that he had a relationship, and we're going to talk about this because what we're establishing this morning prior to the gospel is the reality of two places. The reality of two places. By the way, the prosperity gospel, you might as well kick it out the door, because the beggar had nothing. And he ended up in heaven. And there's a great movement, as you know, or maybe you're not aware of this idea that you can do things and you deserve to do things and God plans for you to be rich. I think it's a bunch of hodgepodge. Because the gospel saves people from their sins. So the beggar was escorted into heaven by the angels. It says the rich man died and he was buried. He could have had a big funeral procession. The text doesn't tell us that. But the next verse tells us exactly where he ended up. And in hell. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he begged for Lazarus, who he could see, if he would just dip his finger in water and reach out and cool his tongue. He says, "For I am tormented in this flame. Since when does one little drop of water do that? Quench your thirst." Have you ever had a burn? A small burn on your finger and one little drop of water? No, you dose your whole finger in there, don't you? Because it's just so hot. That's where this rich man ended up, in hell. You don't believe hell is real? My Bible tells me it's a real place where people will spend eternity. They will never experience the quality of life that this beggar did. It almost seems to me that the roles were reversed. The rich man had everything in this life, and he didn't account for the afterlife. The beggar had nothing in this life, and he was ushered into heaven. He didn't ask for grace. The rich man didn't cry out for grace. He cried out for mercy. What's the difference? He knew there was no grace left. And he just wanted God to just back off a bit. Just give me just 1 ounce of relief. That's mercy. Because he knew he deserved everything that he was getting. I'm painting a pretty dismal picture here, but there's some good news to come. I'm just trying to establish that men and women, boys and girls, will all die, and they will either end up in one place or the other. That's very clear from this story. Verse 25, Abraham reminded this man of all the things that he had in life. And we talked a little bit about that. I don't know where you fit into this picture. Maybe you don't at all. I don't know as far as individual circumstances. But the reality is we live in a very privileged society. And maybe we're not high society, but we have much comparatively to the rest of the population of the world. And maybe you can fit yourself into the fact that, you know what, I've got plans for the future. I'm going to build a house. I'm going to start a family. And maybe you picture all that, and that's a nice picture. And maybe you have a good job, and maybe your business is taking off. Maybe you're making triple digits. I don't know your circumstance. And maybe it's the other way. I don't know. But the reality is, the decisions that you make in this life will determine where you will spend eternity. Trust me on this, and we're going to go through a few verses that we'll share, that I'll share with you, that tell us that. The verse also says, besides the fact that you've ended up here, rich man, and besides the fact that I might even have compassion on your torment, it's not up to me. It's not up to me. There's no such thing as purgatory. That's man-made. There's no such thing as drawing someone back out of a middle line place. You're either on your way to heaven or you'll end up in hell. He says, besides the fact that I might have compassion on you, there is a great gulf fixed. That's God's doing. God has made a way possible now to get on the path to heaven, to be assured of heaven. But once you pass through the doorway, I'll say, of death, because death is just a doorway. This is just a shell. When someone is in the grave, it's just a shell. The soul is gone. And there's no going back and forth once you've passed through the doors of death. Suddenly, this rich man became an evangelist. He said, I don't want my brothers to go here. Send someone from the dead. Raise them from the dead and send them to my home and tell them so that they don't end up where I am. This is a real place of real flames. You may not like to hear that, but that's what the Bible says. A place of torment. It should provoke us to share our faith. Don't share all kinds of theology and Bible doctrine that have no profit to a man that is on his way to hell. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, the great provider of salvation, the one who paid for their sins so that they could be in heaven and not go to that place called hell. So let's go back to the questions. The questions you might have this morning about the truth of these things. How do I get to heaven and how do I avoid hell? Well, the first question we talked about was the whole thing of death come about. Our great-great-great-grandparents, Adam and Eve, sinned in a garden when God created man and woman. And they were told not to eat of this tree in the garden, the tree of life. And they disobeyed. And it says they died. In the day God said that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And if we go back to our Bibles and our history, Adam and Eve lived beyond that day. So what did it mean that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, and they continue to live? It doesn't make sense. Yes, it does. Because they died spiritually. They were separated from God. And they were kicked out of the garden. That's sin. Sin is disobedience to God. And ultimately, so much more. There's so much sin. It's basically disobeying God's law. Is there a literal heaven and a literal hell? Well, the story here very clearly tells of two individuals that ended up in two different places. A place of judgment or a place with the Lord Jesus. Is there a judgment? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You'll be judged, and there'll be books opened, and there's a book called the Book of Life. And Revelation speaks very plainly. If your name is not written in that book, and I'm going to tell you how to get your name written in there in a moment, but there is a book, and God has it. And the name of those that have put their faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done, their names are written in the book. Sin. Disobedience to God. God has given us the Ten Commandments, which is called the law, among many other laws. But there was originally the Ten Commandments, and they were to show the children of Israel at that time how they fell short of what God had wanted them to do. Why is it this morning, and maybe when we leave this place, that people will be unaffected by this message. How is it? I was talking to a brother. We can understand when we present the truth of the gospel, which we haven't done yet, but I've alluded to it, but we can't understand as Christians sometimes, why don't people just get on board? Well, it says, the God of this world, which is Satan, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not the gospel, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto them. That's for sure true. You're blinded, and you need light shed upon your heart this morning. Another reason I believe is sin. We have this idea that sin isn't so terrible. If you were to go back in your history, your personal history, 30 years ago, and someone was living with another person, they weren't married, that would have been a terrible thing. Because there was an awareness of right and wrong. But I believe there's lack of awareness. It's okay. The things that were wrong 100 years ago are now accepted in our society as okay. And you know what? There's some really bad things. You know, like if you were a pedophile, that would still be wrong. But I've heard now in legislation, those people want a designation that they were made like that because they feel that that's the way God made them. And it's not true. It's sin. Adultery is sin. Murder is sin. Lying is sin. Sin is sin. And it's contrary to a holy, righteous God that says He will judge sinners. He will judge them based on their sin. And so, herein lies a huge problem. Adam and Eve, we've inherited that sin nature, and we're sinners. And God cannot accept sin into heaven. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And His Son was willing to make payment for all of your sin. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's the verse my brother gets saved on. He understood he was in that verse. He was ungodly. And when he was doing things against God, God sent His Son, and Christ was willing to go to pay for his sin. When he was an enemy. And if you're not saved this morning, you're an enemy of God. And you're on your way to that place, the same place the rich man ended up. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. Jesus Christ, the lover of your soul. He made the ultimate sacrifice. If you don't understand that word, He made the ultimate payment so that you could be set free from your sin. You see, the whole problem, the whole underlying problem of humanity is sin. And the biggest problem that you have this morning, believe it or not, is that God is good. You'd say, well, how is that? Because God is good and holy and just and right, and you're not. And there lies a large problem. God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's your way into heaven. If you have to start over again this morning and erase everything that you've been taught, and you believe that this book is the truth, then take a hold of that verse. God commendeth His love, gave His love toward us, showed His love toward us. When we were yet sinners, Christ became our substitute. He took the judgment that you and I deserved, and he bore your sins. That's the problem this morning. You're a sinner, and you cannot go to heaven with your sin. You need it taken away. Christian, this morning, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he took care of all your past sins. And he took care of all your future sins. And you're secure. And you're on your way to heaven. Not because of you, but because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God was so pleased with that sacrifice that he raised his son back up to life 3 days later, the resurrection. And the one who took my sin, I will see someday. And it could be today. Two people. Two places. Two scenarios. Here are the two scenarios. Repent or turn from your sin, acknowledge your sin, and put your faith in Jesus Christ as your substitute, or reject this message this morning and end up in a place called hell. That's reality. That's truth. Bible truth. Hope I haven't been harsh. I hope God will use this message in this book this morning about two individuals who had two different paths and ended up in two different places. Will you believe me that you do not want to end up in hell? Hell is real. Hell is not on earth. Hell is a place of torment. And eventually, hell and death will be thrown into the lake of fire. You'll never have any quality of life. You'll have no life. And I believe this. My Bible says you will be always conscious and fully aware that you rejected the only place that you have hope. You'll be an eternal life Christ rejecter. It doesn't have to be that way. Put your faith in him this morning. It's not a 10-step process. It's believing you're a sinner, agreeing with God that you're a sinner, and putting your faith in him. And what happens is you become born again. You become a new creation. And those of us that have done that have never once regretted it. And we're on our way to heaven. I trust you'll think about these things this morning. You that are viewing in on live stream, if you've never heard this message before, go into your Bible, read John, the Gospel of John. Learn about the salvation that Jesus Christ has provided for you this morning. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank thee for your word. We thank thee for truth. We think of these men in this story. We think of individuals in our gathering here this morning that maybe have been playing Christian, but no reality in their lives. And Father, us as Christians can enjoy once again the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, remembering all that he has done on our behalf. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. We have nothing to boast about. It's all about him. And we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. In his name we pray. Amen.